Rock and roll on a Monday. What do we do? I'm out.
I'd rather have you say today is Monday than say today is Friday, or, you know, give me a day ahead. I'd rather be prepared and go, oh, it's already Monday. Oh, wait a second. No, it's not Monday. I'm actually in a good mood now because it's Thursday, but there's nothing.
You don't know what you're talking about.
But missing a day and saying it's Thursday when it's Wednesday, and then that sets you up for the entire week, and
what's
you can never recover.
Thinking that today would be like the day. Wow. Let's say you think it's Thursday, but really it's Wednesday.
Yes, that sucks. That's the worst,
okay.
Yes.
Or waking up 2 minutes before your alarm.
Oh, thinking it's Thursday when it's Wednesday.
No. I don't think there's anything worse in the world.
I haven't had my alarm. I couldn't tell you the last time I actually had my alarm go off. My body clock is now just to one of those things where I'm just, you know, up and whatnot. So I just turn the alarm off and I get out of bed. And
Bob
so,
in real life, 3:45.
Yep. Just, I mean, it's probably about 3:30 every morning. The body clock just goes off.
That's what happens to me. And then I just lay until it goes off.
And that's the worst feeling, though, because you start to drift back into that sleep and then you start to get that good sleep for the last 20 minutes and you don't want to wake up, and now you're dragging, and now you're slogging through the day because you hit that snooze button or whatever it was and you went back to sleep and you got in your warm bed and put those covers on and you're sitting there like a little baby in the womb and you're like, and then the alarm goes off 2 seconds later and it's like, damn, I didn't recover. I didn't get enough good sleep. So now you gotta get up for that. But no, being Wednesday and everybody thinking it's Thursday, terrible. It's just such a buzzkill for me.
The 2 minute before the alarm, I think I'd rather do at least 10 things in my life than have to wake up. Because then it's just like, you're like, man, really? Like 2 minutes? Like it feels like an eternity that you just woke up to, but really you're like, because there's also the flip of it. The best part is when you wake up at like 12:15 thinking that it's like 3 o'clock and you're like, Yeah,
that happened to me actually last night. I rolled over and I looked at the clock and I went, do we set the clocks back in the middle of the night? Like, was this one of those days where we're setting the clock back? Because it's only whatever it was, 1 o'clock or whatever. I'm like, man, I felt like it was a lot later than that. But, man, I got a couple more hours right back to sleep, you know? So
it's actually earlier, not later.
Yeah, sorry, my bad. Yes. Get bent. So I was hoping we set the clock back or something, because I'm like, yeah, this night just continues to go. This is nice.
So you have a question you want to ask?
I do. We were sitting around last night, my wife and I, talking about, I don't know, we somehow got on the Oklahoma Sooner football team or whatever. I don't know how that conversation came up. We were talking about she said like something sooner rather than later or something like that. I go, oh, like the Oklahoma football team, the Sooners, right? Do you guys know how the Sooners got their name?
I do not.
By Boomers?
No.
Oklahoma Sooners. So this has to go way back. Is it like similar to how like the 49ers got their name?
Kind of, yeah.
So it was probably like people that started to like move or like maybe like kind of come towards Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
and they were here sooner than later?
Yeah, nailed it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, not at all.
No, it's 100% what it was. Yeah, the land rush of Oklahoma opened on, like, let's just use the date, September 1st, 1895, right? I don't know what date it opened.
That's nuts.
And days before, everybody would line up on the border to get ready. And so the people who got, because it was free land. And so the sooner you got there, the more land you could claim and get. Like, I thought this was common knowledge, quite honestly. It's again, you know, nobody cares about history. Nobody pays attention to anything that goes on before they came out of the womb. And so they were all waiting there at the border. And when the borders opened, it was the land rush. And everybody, when the first people there were there sooner than everybody else. And so they were the Oklahoma Sooners, hence the name, the Oklahoma Sooners. And that's how they got their name. And so I just assumed everybody knew that.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And then, well, they're not the Assumers, they're the Sooners.
That's right, exactly. And then we got into the Jay, and then my wife goes, well, you know, the Jayhawk's just a mythical bird. I said, it's not a mythical bird at all.
They're Jayhawkers.
Right.
It goes back to the Civil War.
And I said, which means you know why the Missouri Tigers are the Missouri Tigers. It's not just because they picked a nickname that everybody else had.
Well, what percentage would you give people in Kansas City that are diehard Chiefs fans that know the actual origin of the name?
2% probably.
Really? I would go higher.
You would go higher? Yeah, because I just don't think people care about history. Right?
Not a lot of people do.
No, they don't.
Do, but they don't, if that makes sense. Like, they do, but they don't want to be taking back to, like, 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Give me the Spark Note version. Back in 1859, the Chiefs had this guy, and he was the mayor of the Kansas. Not 1859, but, like, you just be like, yeah, he's named after a former mayor.
Right, Roe Bartle, they call him Chief, and that was it. They named the team after him. Okay, cool.
But there's people that like to give you every single detail throughout.
Yeah, right.
Like the best, like the it's the way to describe like a bridesmaid speech or a maid of honor speech.
Right.
I don't need to know from birth to 25 now, Shelly.
Yeah.
Just give me like the SparkNote version of where you met, how you met, what you are. Cheers. Adios.
Right. Exactly.
But there are some things I do believe though that do merit a little bit of finer detail.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I think, so we got into the Jayhawk Tiger conversation, and Missouri Tigers are named after the people who raided Kansas. They were the Tigers going, and that's what they call them, the Tigers going after the Jayhawkers. And so that's how the you know, the mascots and you know, came to be. And so I was like giving my wife this history lesson last night. And I'm like, man, I thought for sure, like, even if you didn't know, like the name Sooner, right? That's not, you know, the Heat. That's not, you know, the Chiefs. It's not like a normal name. I would have thought over the years you'd look at that as a sports fan and go, why the hell are they called the Sooners? But, you know, I guess people don't look into why and understand how certain names come about, because I think when you see how certain name comes about, maybe you understand things a little bit better about that and get it and go, oh, okay, that's just not a nickname. That actually means something.
Well, that nickname and story sucks, though. It's just like, honestly, like, oh, sooner than later, really? Like, I literally had no idea. I'm just guessing. Yeah. It's like, oh.
Yeah, but,
when Dusty said that, I was like, that's two. Come on.
No, that's what it was. But that's the whole story of that state.
Correct.
You know, that's why that state became a state, right? Because they had all of this land and they said, okay, whoever gets there first gets it, and you can start on this day. And everybody literally lined up. And, you know, they've got this monument at the Bass Pro Shop in Oklahoma City where you can see it, right? But it's really, it's a great, like, park that they've turned into this whole thing with how they actually did it. And the whistle blew, basically. The day came, and everybody flooded into Oklahoma and claimed their land. And, you know, generational land down in Oklahoma. And it's red dirt. You can't grow much on it. It's not that valuable. Mm-hmm. But even still, that's how they became the Oklahoma Sooners. And so I think it's cool to hear that, because you hear that name, you're like, why are they called the Sooners, you know?
Yeah.
Why are the Royals called the Royals? Do you know that?
I actually don't.
God, how do you not know that?
Yeah, I know.
Well, they're named after the American Royal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they stole the exact uniforms of the Dodgers.
That's right. Because
and home jerseys are exact replicas of the Los Angeles.
Yeah, Ewing Kaufman wanted to represent the best franchise in baseball and wanted to look like the best franchise in baseball. And to this day, they still are. And you've got your Los Angeles Dodger kind of combo with the Royals uniform. Mm-hmm. That's how they came up with the colors and the design and everything like that, because they're like, well, if we want to be the best, let's model the best. And so they decide we can't go with the pinstripes, you know, obviously. So let's go with what the Los Angeles Dodgers, Brooklyn Dodgers have and do that kind of thing. So, yeah, there's history and there's stories behind all of this kind of stuff as to how these teams ultimately got their name, how they ended up, where they are. The college stories are really cool as well. I don't know why K-State's the Wildcat. I have no idea. I've never delved into that one. But I just assume because it's the Wildcat. But I don't know.
Because every man is a Wildcat.
Every man is a Wildcat, right? I do know that the Power Cat was developed by Bill Snyder. And so that was kind of cool to see that kind of take full effect and change the whole kind of, you know, view of what K-State was. But that's all. I just wanted to ask you guys if you knew, because I was talking to my wife and I was like surprised that she didn't know about the Oklahoma Sooners. But I'm sure nobody knows about that.
Well, I mean, she went to Pitt State. She's lived around here her whole
life.
Oklahoma's not really anything that probably tickles her fancy.
Yeah, but I mean, you grew up in the Big Eight, and you know, you hear the name all the time. Like, why are they the, you know, like the Iowa State, the Cyclones? I'm guessing they're the Cyclones because there's a lot of tornadoes in this area of the country.
Somebody in the text line says, Bob, will this be on the final?
It will be. Yes, it will be. So you take your notes. It will be a little bit later on in the day. So yes,
there you go. Yeah, it's yeah.
K-State was briefly the Farmers in 1917.
See, you can't go with that mascot. That's terrible. Yeah, you got to get out of that fast.
The Farmers?
Yeah, but they adopted the Wildcats in 1915. Then they went to the Farmers in 1917. They went back to the Wildcats.
Oh, yeah. They were an ag school at one point, you know.
Introduced by John Chief Bender. He wanted it to represent the team's fighting spirit, often referencing the native Bobcat.
Okay.
Anyways. Yeah, history story. Because, you know,
Mac does not know what the American Royal was, Bob. It's KC. That's a parade, right? Celebration parade.
The American Royal is a group of people who put on the cow shows, the horse shows, the American Royal barbecue, and it basically.
Well, it became the barbecue.
Well, like, that's their fundraiser.
Yeah,
you know?
But like it was the trading of cattle. Yeah. Or like the parading of like prized meat, like, well, it's going
to
be meat.
Yeah, well, it's going to be meat. And they did used to have a parade.
To Jay Rieger and do the tour.
And they used
I love that.
And they used to have a parade. I don't think they still have the American Royal Parade anymore, but it used to be like a pretty big deal, like a debutante ball.
Did you know that Disney World was started in Kansas City called Electric Park?
Hello, America.
And Walt Disney's from where?
That's right.
Yeah, so, no, history's fun. Sports history's great. You know why the Denver Nuggets are called the Denver Nuggets, right? Because they sell Nug weed in Denver.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're not called the, you know, Denver Reg. You know? They're not the Denver Schwag.
Denver Dimebag.
They're not the Denver Mids. He's really showing how much of a degenerate he was in high school and college.
But, yeah, those are all, like, you know, named after the area. The Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avs, and whatever else they have out there. The Rockies. They're named the Rockies. You know why they're called the Rockies? Because of the mountains.
Mountains. There we go.
That's exactly right.
Don't have to overthink that one.
You do not have to overthink that at all.
We'll get a break on this message from the text line. This opener is why I love this show. Great stuff. And tell the talk sports boomers to piss off. I promise you we'll get into sports on the other side because I'm telling you this. I am officially, I'm a hockey guy. Deal with it. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
Every Hardee's is closed.
Well, that sucks.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.
Back at it on Thursday here on 96.5 The Fan. 2-26-26 is the date today.
2-26-26. That's right. Cool.
Yep. I don't know why that stuck in my head this morning looking at my watch, but I came into the Mac studio and I just started saying 2-26-26, 2-26-26-26.
Yeah, it was like a
annoying.
A verbal stem just attacked him and he just couldn't stop. It was pretty crazy.
Well, I'll take you one step further. Last night, the Yankees announced that they're retiring CC Sabathia.
There we go.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is, right? No, like, right? No. So he's number 52, right? And they're retiring it on 9-26-26. So 26 plus 26 is 52.
Nice.
There you go. Now, I don't know if they thought of that, but I immediately did. I went right to that because I'm like, CC Sabathia was like, he's in the Hall of Fame. I get that. But like, I don't know. I just think of like Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth when you're a Yankee, not like CC Sabathia.
Everybody gets a trophy these days.
I know. It was a weird one for me yesterday. Like, man.
He even won a World Series with the Yankees?
He did. Yeah, he did.
09 he was on the
team? Yeah, I think it was 09. So that would have been the only one that he would have had an opportunity, I believe, to win. But I mean, I better check that. I don't know if he was on that 09 team now, Dusty. That's the last time they won a World Series. So he may not have been a world champion with the Yankees.
I want to say, yeah, I think he probably was. Because Yankees was his last stop.
Yeah.
So it was Cleveland, Milwaukee, New York. Yeah, no. What? Retiring his number is not.
That was his first year on the team.
09 was? Okay.
Look up his last year in Cleveland and his first year in Milwaukee, and then look up his offensive numbers. Dude could rake at the plate, could hit bombs.
He could, yeah.
He was also hammered playing loose, too. He was like the John Daly of baseball.
Not anymore, though.
No,
yeah.
He's not. He's cleaned himself up a little bit, which is good to see. So big hockey guy, right? Mm-hmm. Went to the Mavericks game last night.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool.
Cool.
A lot colder than I would imagine.
It's very cold.
I knew it was going to be cold or chilly because of ice, but man, like, even when we had a nice little suite because my buddy's niece sang at the end of the first period, so like the first intermission. By the way, intermission's too long.
That's tough. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
if you've never been to a hockey game, having 2 15-minute halftimes
tough,
is, yeah,
dude.
Can be a lot.
It
should
is.
Be like 10,
especially at a minor league.
At a minor league game. Yeah.
I mean, Maloney shows up to our suite, kicks the door open, American hockey jersey on,
yes,
bucket hat.
Hello, America.
That literally says Maloney.
Yeah,
and goes, dude. No one in the room. No one except my other buddy that's met Rob knows who this is, and these are like children. Like, there's crumble cookie, chicken strips, corn dogs, and sliders, and we're watching this whole thing go down, and I'm like, hey, Rob, let's go get a beer somewhere. Like, I was like, I don't think these people know who you are.
Usher this man out.
It was like, here comes your party surprise.
Yeah.
Wrong. It's like the Kool-Aid guy, right?
The wrong suite.
Sorry. But it was great to see Rob. He was decked out. I had a blast. I'll be like, we had so much time. We talked for like literally 15 minutes and didn't miss a thing. Mavericks were up 3-1 by the time we left for the second period, but
I'll tell you. So that was your first hockey experience?
No. That was just like my first like pay attention experience.
Right.
And I was just sitting there and I'm like, man, we still aren't back from intermission. Like they've had the chuck-a-puck. Yeah. They've had the Zambonis come out.
It is long. Like, so
they had a rehearsal song.
Yeah. Like when we were kids and went to Devil games at the Meadowlands, right? So, you know, your kids, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, whatever it is. And you're going to these games. Intermission, I want to say, and I could be completely wrong about this, I want to say back in those days it was a 20-minute intermission, okay? I don't know if that is truly the case or not. I could be wrong about that. But when you're a kid, everything seems a lot longer. But what was cool about the Meadowlands back then, they had like a way that you could walk around the top of the arena all the way around. So as kids, we just all used to run around the top row of the Meadowlands as the, you know, the puck was, you know, doing whatever it was that it was doing and, you know, whatnot. So that was one of those things that we always used to do because it's very long for kids. But when the game's going on, there's really no stoppage in action, you know, it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And so I think that's the cool thing about it is like, yeah, there is that 15-minute intermission, but when they're playing, they are playing, you know, the entire time.
Is every level of hockey, do the refs get their own little like free skate?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, man, this is awesome.
Oh, before the period starts? Yeah, you have to get loose.
Do they have to do they have to sharpen the ice up for the hockey? Because, I mean, it had me in like a ball of laughter the first time. I was like, oh, they're coming out. Oh, okay. And they're like speed skating.
Yeah, the referees. Yeah, they're great. Like, yeah.
They're, you know, chunking ice and they're doing the splits almost to get loose. I'm like, oh, they get like it's like when the lifeguard says adult swim only.
Yeah.
Here come the referees. And then here come both teams.
The NBA games, you see the referees sometimes running up and down the court and getting ready. But you got to be in shape to do that. I mean, you're skating with those dudes out there who are the best in the world. You better be able to, you know, get out there and kind of compete with those guys. And I would think a lot of the referees in hockey are former players anyway that got to a certain level and couldn't.
Oh, for sure.
Because you just can't say, I'm going to be a hockey ref. Well, you got to learn how to skate first.
Efficiently.
And efficiently and probably more than efficiently.
Also know the rules.
Yeah, and that's the other thing.
I will skate as well as those guys almost.
Yeah.
Well, it's like caddies are almost better at golf than the golfer. They can't handle the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like most of the time, like you don't hear about it. Like if they did a tournament of caddies, it'd be amazing who you would see like, wow, that guy's really effing good.
Yeah, right.
Now, not all of them are. Some of them are just like their buddy that like talks to them and that's what they need because golfers are just different mentally. Mm-hmm. It's like a pitcher, but like to the extreme where like some golfers might just want a guy that tells them like, hey man, your 150 shot is this. Where another guy might be like, dude, this is cool. You're like, yeah, it is cool. And it's like, yeah, remember when we were six and we thought about it? And it's like, that's what they need. They just need somebody to like distract them. But either way, we get back into hockey a little bit because gold medalist Jack Hughes.
That was awesome. I was watching the game last night with the Devils, 6 o'clock. I'm like, all right, let's see what's going to happen. They knocked it out of the park.
I'm so proud and I'm so happy that the men's and women's USA hockey teams brought gold medals back to the United States of America.
Hello, America.
You guys are making me emotional, but I'm so proud to represent the New Jersey Devils organization. And I'm so, so proud to represent the great state of New Jersey. So proud. From the bottom of my heart, all my teammates, USA teammates, we just want to thank you guys for all the love and the support. We feel it. Thank you.
Devils would lose 2-1
to
Buffalo Sabres. But either way, that's, I don't think, what anybody cared about last night in that arena.
No.
They went to see one, and it will fizzle out as now it's on TV. As we
correct,
speak.
Yes.
But like, it will fizzle out, but that's like still the new of the moment. And so it's cool to see that like, I guess this is why, to me, like winning gold is great because the guys that Jack Hughes brought out, they could have fought later that night.
Yes.
4 days ago, not a chance. but yet it's all in the sport, yet all in the country, and it's two different things. His voice cracks me up, too, because he just seems like a shy guy, but not a chance to see a shy guy. He's a freaking hockey player, man. Like, those guys are they're insane, but it's cool to see the hangover effect of the moment. Like, yep. I would assume by the weekend it'll be gone. Hell, by today it's probably gone.
Yeah.
But it's cool to see, you know, they have past members out. They do all this stuff. It goes all over social media. It's good to see that it wasn't just a Sunday thing and then it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if we're going to talk about this team like we've done since 1980 about that hockey team. And
every 4 years?
Maybe, but like that 1980 team is always going to be living infamy as the greatest American sports team of all time. Like, nothing will ever top those guys. And because they were amateurs, beat the Russians, the whole nine yards, everybody knows the story of what that was. And sports at that time was a lot simpler than it is now. And everybody's a lot busier. And there's so much more to do and consume in life than just, you know, turning on the game at night. And so I think for a lot of people, that 1980 team, I don't think this team, I don't think any team will ever be up to that 1980 team, just because of the what was in store and what they were able to do and what they were able to accomplish. And the world was a lot different then. I think we were more sports fans back then, right, than we are today. I think we're sports fans for our teams in our moments, and it's not the world love that we had back in 1980. But again, things change, things move on. But watching that game last night was really cool. The beginning, they played the goal, obviously, and the whole crowd in jerseys chanting USA, USA, USA. I mean, and you get goosebumps, and then Jack Hughes comes out and he's doing his thing, and you can hear him get a little emotional and kind of cry a little bit, you know, announcing and you know, giving praise to the women's team was awesome. And
still no tooth.
No, but that's where I'm going with this. He kept kind of covering his mouth. Like, you could tell he was like, all right, enough of this kind of look. It's time to, he was self-conscious as the way, and anybody would be, you know, in that situation. I'm wondering if he is going to get it fixed. I think he probably is going
to
get it fixed.
And
that's where I was going to go with that. Yeah, you're too good looking of a kid to not have that fixed. You're not a hockey goon. You're a star in the United States.
But he could also be a good looking dude with a hockey tooth.
Could be. I mean, Strahan never got his fixed.
Yeah.
You know, he never got his fixed. Yeah, he could have had braces and, you know, tighten that thing up a little bit, but that ended up being his calling card, and it worked.
Anthony Davis never got it plucked.
That's exactly right. And Strahan played in the same damn parking lot for the most part as Jack Hughes is playing in right now. Now they moved down the street to Newark a little bit, but I mean, you get what I'm saying. Like,
such a random thing to go off on a side tangent with, but like, why wouldn't you? Like, who? Like, that's a random thing to flex is the unibrow.
Well, yeah, now he's made money off of it.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like, imagine being like an 18-year-old at Kentucky and you're like the best player in the country. And it's like, dude, hear me out. Okay. Jordan, tongue. Mm-hmm. Right? Kobe, the gnarly little whatever, the growl. You know, cool, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I got for you. You should do a unibrow. Wait, what? Dude, they'll call you the brow. It'll catch on and it'll be great. Michael Strahan, the tooth thing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Braces suck, too. They're horrible, right? And could unibrow?
That's an easy fix. That's a little hot wax and a ripoff, man.
Oh, yeah.
I get mine waxed every third Tuesday. I mean, it's not that hard.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't want that there.
I just take the razor.
You don't. No, then it grows back and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so I don't. Now, who the hell wants a unibrow?
Every third Tuesday. Okay.
Yep.
Waxing brows and waxing ass in the same day.
I just want to win, Jen.
Do you guys think I overhyped Cags, or that I thought I saw something more than other people did? Because I saw 460-foot bombs and 120 bat speed. Not true. 115 off the bat. A lot of that. I'm giving you guys an option if you want a version of Cags, but a pitcher. And that's the right-hander for the Royals named Kendry Cherio. You want your Estevez heart to stop beating so fast?
Yeah.
Let the kid go.
17?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? I don't care.
17-38. Why not? Yeah. He's blitzed through the DSL, the ACL, and pitched a playoff game in low A. Mm-hmm. ACL is no injury. It's a league.
Right.
Look, baseball is not going to put this kid in the league anytime soon. But I don't know that to be a fact. Because to me, the reason why I had the theory of Cags being great, great strong, to be ready, I should say, and to see him in the pros, is because I personally believe that if you're consistently winning in your area, you need to keep challenging yourself. And if you're still going through ranks and getting those things done and showing that you can belong, and not only belong, but dominate, there's no reason for you to be down there. And I think baseball has started to kind of show that. As we've said, baseball's been in a renaissance. Mm-hmm. You watch all those kids that were drafted out of college last year, 2 years ago, and played in the league. You look at like Roman Anthony's, Jack Caglione's. Gosh, what's the kid from the Cincinnati? Burns. All these guys that like got drafted and then all of a sudden are in the league. And we're talking about this kid from the Pittsburgh Pirates who's an absolute bona fide stud, dude. Yep. And he's 19.
19 years old. And Connor Griffin.
Yeah. And his card is off the charts.
I imagine it's probably the number one prospect in baseball right now.
It was a huge chase last year, so people saw it coming. And you think about this kid who's throwing 96, 97, again, only 17 years old, but there's not that much telling me that if he's 19 and still doing this, and at that point he's in AAA, there's no reason to have him in the minor leagues and put him on the big stage and let him close. Then who knows? Maybe he's your next ace in your future.
Yeah, maybe he is. And maybe you start a kid at, 17 or 18 in the big leagues. And maybe
three
you,
leagues.
Yeah,
three,
I know.
Three leagues. Yeah. At the age, basically the age of your daughter.
Right, exactly. Like, it's true. Yeah, a year older than my oldest child. And I'm thinking, like, would she be mentally ready to play in the major leagues? Probably not. But who is? Right. But this kid obviously is doing what he needs to do. And he's not just impressing Royals people. I remember when they signed him, I heard from a lot of people, scouts around baseball go, man, the Royals got a good one here. This is a really nice pickup. Nice signing by the Royals. Nice job by the Royals. He's really good. Like, all high praise for this kid around baseball. So it's not just us that's looking at a couple of spring training games. I want to make that clear for people to go, spring training, what do you know? No, as soon as the Royals signed this kid, my phone blew up and people all over baseball go, damn, the Royals got a nice one here. So that's an impressive one. But if he's ready to go, you're ready to go. I don't think there has to be an age limit, right? And I don't think there has to be a certain amount of time that you need to spend down in the minor leagues. It needs to be on a case-by-case basis. And I know a lot of folks in baseball are like, oh, we got rid of all of these teams, and the minor leagues are only four teams. That's good. That rushes guys up to the big league level and finds out sooner rather than later whether or not they can play. You've got seven or eight minor league teams. You're just kind of storing guys and wasting time, I think. So I think with the reduction of the minor league teams, that has led to a faster track to the big league level. And so if this kid Churio is ready to go, the hell with it. Let's go. Let's bring him up and see what he can do. But this Connor Griffin kid, who is the number one prospect in baseball, had his first spring game the other day, hit two home runs in his first two at-bats. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking about the Pittsburgh Pirates guys. That could be a sleeper team. They've actually spent some money this offseason, and they're trying to do things to show Skeens that they are a legitimate organization. What would show them that they're a legitimate organization is bringing up Connor Griffin and making him the starting shortstop on opening day. He hit 300 over three levels of the minors last year. Every level he went to, he hit over 300. Fast track through the minor leagues as well. Fans want to see these young kids play. And how cool would it be for Paul Skeens to finally get his running mate in Pittsburgh? That's good for baseball, because if he gets his running mate in Pittsburgh and is happy there, then maybe he decides to stay in Pittsburgh. We laugh, but we don't know what the new, Major League Baseball Players Association agreement's going to look like, the labor deal. We don't know how that's going to play
out. Where's his future wife from?
Well, yeah, that's true. But, maybe we get to a point in baseball where, we don't see guys jumping from team to team anymore, and they do get some kind of labor deal done. Yeah, I know you're laughing. I'm kind of laughing inside as I say it. But at least for the time being, Pittsburgh fans can say, we got ourselves a shortstop, and we've got ourselves an ace pitcher. And they may have the best pitcher-shortstop combination right now in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, where did Garrett Cole start his career?
Yeah.
Churio also, it's not a crazy 96-97. He's very accurate. Five batters walked in 51.1 innings pitched last season. So, I mean, he's dialed in.
Yeah, I would just get him through start him through the ranks. Like, I'd get him an A, get him and see if he's got that, then get him up there to double A and do all that sort of stuff. And then if he is a 19-year-old kid like this, Connor Griffin kid is. But I do want to ask you this, because doesn't doing what you're asking the Pittsburgh Pirates do go against what you saw the Royals do with Caglione?
I didn't think Cags was ready. And
you think this kid is?
I do, yeah.
See, two home runs in one game.
No, he hit over 300 in three different levels of the minor leagues last year. He progressed through the minors, went to three different levels in the minor leagues, hit over 300 at all of those levels. So I think that's a kid that is ready to come up to the big league level. I didn't think Cags was ready, and I didn't think the Royals were ready for Cags. And we saw that.
I thought your theory on Cags coming up, you were upset with it because you didn't want him to be the savior of the franchise.
That's right. I don't think this kid will be the savior of the franchise.
That's kind of what you just said.
No, I think Paul Skeens Means is that guy, and I think he could have a running mate with him. I didn't think Cags was ready at all last year. I think the organization majorly failed Jack Caglione, and I'll say that till I go to my grave. They brought him up because of the mistakes that they made. They didn't bring Jack Caglione up because it was the right time. They brought him up is because they made so many mistakes they had to backfill with Jack Caglione. I don't think that's the case with the Pittsburgh Steelers and this kid. I think this kid right now, Pittsburgh Pirates and this kid, I think this kid has progressed nicely through the minor leagues and is ready to come up to the big league level. So we'll see what they do. I think for a team like Pittsburgh, you got an opportunity to grab your fan base too and really excite your fan base to have this kid at the big league level. I mean, like you think about the NFL and watching rookies, like we expect rookies to come into the NFL and star. Like if Jeremiah Love is drafted by the Chiefs, there's no, oh, let's see what he can do in the minor league.
1,000 yards.
Go out there and run.
1,000 yards.
And score touchdowns and do it against guys who have been in the league for a long period of time, right? In baseball, like, hang out in the minor leagues for 6 years. We'll see you later, you know?
Be football, a 27-year-old rookie of the year.
Football careers are over before these minor leaguers ever get to the show, you know? It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I mean, that's what I do love that baseball is actually doing, because that was the one thing that I hated about when the Royals drafted Butler and Alex Gordon.
Yeah.
It's like my dad was like, well, unfortunately, man, you're going to have to wait until they get to, you know, 22, 23, because they're drafting, you know, not, you know, right out of college or high school for Butler. And obviously Gordon went to Nebraska. I was like, man, we got to wait 3 years for this guy. It's like, yeah, but he's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Is he, though? Yeah. And then, right. How many of them are awesome? Because I remember the day Billy Butler was drafted, and the next day he was out at Kauffman Stadium as that high school kid. Mm-hmm. And I remember looking at him going, man, this is kind of cool. When are we going to see this guy? You know, and it was Dusty. It was like 6 years later, you finally saw Billy Butler. But that was because they also had short season teams, rookie league teams, all these teams that you don't need anymore that were basically places to store talent. So general managers could tell their owners, we've got talent in the pipeline. And now they don't really have much of a pipeline anymore. And I know the baseball people don't like that, but I do, because it fast tracks guys up to the big league and you find out sooner rather than later whether or not somebody can play.
By the way, Caglione in AA and AAA, 337 and 357. And then got called up last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he was hitting ball in minor leagues too. And he had 20 home runs, 25 actually in those 2 years total. I hope Connor Griffin works out. I've got a couple of his cards in my closet. So bring this up because we talk about, you know, making moves either too soon or too late. Is there a move that you guys have in Chiefs history that you, or Royals history or college, whatever, maybe, I don't know, that you would go back and change?
Yeah, I mean, I look at this because Mike Dana, you know, was released, and I loved Mike Dana.
And we saw Andrew Wiley get signed, right, the two-year right tackle. Might be okay here if we had him, and we'd have to worry about that, because that's a guy you don't think about until you think about it. Is that right? Like, is that fair? Like, you see, you know, get signed, two-year deal, also went over there, Andrew Wiley. You're like, man, you know what? Honestly, didn't want to give him that money.
Right.
But, man, I'd rather give him that money than, you know, Jalen Moore.
But how much different is the offensive line if you have Wiley here, right? I mean, the butterfly effect of allowing him to walk away. We talked about that with some other players as well. But yeah, the Wiley one, I mean, the Chiefs could look back at that Wiley one and be like, man, we really let a good player get away. And if we just had him, we could have had stability, you know, along that offensive line. It may not have been sexy, you know, but it would have been at least some stability along that offensive line. Brent Rooker, the one that got away for the Royals with me. But I think that Wiley, you look back and you start to think a little bit, man, I wish we still had him here because of what's happened since he's been gone. Because kind of since he's been gone, it's been a rotating just cast of
since
characters. I was waiting for that. I was going to break into song as well.
For the first time.
Yeah. So, but that's where it is, so, though. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, you look back on, you're like, damn, man, he would have been a really nice player here and was a good player here. And that's why he got paid, you know, to leave and go. And congratulations to him. But if you could do that one all over again, maybe Wiley becomes just your swing guy that can play just about every position along your offensive line. And then, as you mentioned, the Redskins re-signed the guy. Didn't even let him get to free agency.
Bob, it's Commanders.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
And you better call them the Guardians. Brent Rooker's wild to me that's the one guy that got away for the Royals. Oh, recently, sorry.
Yeah, recently.
I was like, I'm going in my head, Beltran, Damon, die. I think it's Justin Reed.
That's a great call by you. Yeah, it's a great call by you.
I mean, we've hit it a little bit of times on the air of, like, the leadership, because I know I'm seeing Mac's name, and it's kind of the same narrative, and I don't want to keep the whole microphone for this segment, but Man, just like seeing that last year, like, and then off after the games, like we heard Spags talking about Jaden Hicks, and he's like, "Well, I thought it was going to develop better than it was, and maybe we need to reevaluate that." And you're like, "Ah," because if you didn't have that, you know, developed, and maybe Justin Reed was Jaden Hicks's like crutch. Maybe that was the guy. He's like, he knows he's there. He doesn't worry about it. Then it's like once he's gone, it's like the math test. The paper flipped over, and you're like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys were like that, quite honestly.
And maybe that's Brian Cook. I don't know. I mean, Brian Cook's going to get paid by somebody. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, he'll get some.
Yeah, a lot of people. I mean, they're going to go get him. I'm not saying he's got to wait around. Somebody will go and just be like, hey, we'll take Brian Cook as our safety. Chicago, I think, because they need some help.
Really? Okay.
I've heard a lot of Chicago Bears interest in Brian Cook.
Yeah, I mean, him
Cook.
And Brisker would be really good.
Who's playing safety for us next year?
Yeah, right now is no one.
That's the kid from Ohio State.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, Caleb Downs would be awesome.
Would be fantastic if they were able to get Caleb
still
Downs.
Still would need other safeties. You'd still need to, like, that's how barren this roster is.
Who got released yesterday at the safety position in Tennessee? Oh, drawing a blank. Their safety. They just released him yesterday. I don't know if that, I can't remember the guy's
name. If you
could
go back last year and have which guy on the team, would you go Justin Reed or Joe Tooney?
Justin Reed.
Okay.
Yeah, Justin Reed, no question for me. Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, yeah, Reed for sure. Really excited about the development of Kingsley. And that offensive line needed to get younger. That was a good move.
It was.
Chiefs Twitter still really pissed because they saw how great. Joe Tooney was going to play great. That wasn't the question.
Joe Tooney was a great player.
Not falling off. Right. Yes, he's might be a Hall of Famer at left guard. He is.
Yeah,
I say might because it's left guard. He's never not won his division. He's won five Super Bowls now. I mean, Joe Tooney's a... He's one of the most decorated
NFL players, honestly.
He's a stud. He's incredible. Mm-hmm. Justin Reed, right? Yeah, that's the one we've talked about. I would say Willie Gay. Yeah.
An interesting one.
I loved Willie Gay. I loved his play style. I thought he brought energy. We saw what he did on the sideline with starting dances, starting that, getting the crowd hyped up. But he was good in pass coverage. He's faster from sideline to sideline. I just felt like he was better in zone than Nick Bolton is. And yeah, man, I don't know. Nick Bolton just kind of irks me a lot of the time. I really liked Willie Gay.
Yeah, I liked Willie Gay a lot as well.
He closed better than anybody else did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Just boom, right there. Yeah. I liked his athleticism.
Yeah, and so you get to a situation now where you start to look back at some of these moves that were made, and you're like, damn. Like the Willie Gay one, maybe you keep him around another year. The Justin Reed one is ultimately the one that Dusty mentioned. That's the one that I think you look back on and say, man, that was the one that got away. That really was the guy that got away, because I don't think ultimately, guys, they factored in all the intangibles that Justin Reed brought to the table, from being the leader, from being the guy out there that could set everybody up, the guy that took charge. They didn't have that on the defensive side of the football. And so I think Justin Reed, man, that loss right there, that is a killer, killer, killer for this organization. And they're going to have to find somebody at that safety position that's going to step up and be the same type of leader that we saw in Tyrann Mathieu and Justin Reed. I think it's imperative for this defense.
Xavier Woods was who
that's who it was. Yeah. Yes. Give me your thoughts on him.
He's all right. Yeah. I don't know how good he played last season because he was on the Titans, but I remember him when he got drafted by the Panthers. Yeah. He's got to be near 30.
Yeah.
Now.
He's got to be old. So, yeah.
So maybe not.
Xavier Woods. I do remember that name now that you mention it.
Tooney, Reed, Justin Watson from the 913.
Watson! Justin Watson is an interesting one, yeah.
Tyreek Hill's not on the name on the list?
Yeah, no Tyreek Hill texts.
Yeah,
I think people are just over him, man.
Justin Houston, Jared Allen, to go back a little further.
Yeah, they got a lot for Jared Allen. I mean, they got Brandon Albert, they got Jamal Charles because of the Jared Allen trade. That was a good trade for the Chiefs.
Yeah. I just would have loved to see Jared Allen finish his career here. Just 69 hogtie sacks.
So good.
Ripped his pants at his Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but they weren't ready for winning at that time, you know, to sign him to that kind of deal. And so,
he was still having character issues, correct?
A little bit. Yeah. He had a bar that lasted for two minutes here in Kansas City.
He sobered up while he was in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? I thought that happened when he was on
Hard Knocks. He was like, I'll do it on duels. And the guy's like, seriously? He's like, yeah. Seriously. And the guy's like, oh, okay. Sorry, dude. Coming up, we take you back in time and we talk running backs. Why? Because we can. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Back at it here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Dusty, and Mac with you all. On a Thursday morning tomorrow, just Mac and I. Bob will be out of the office, but everybody back next week on Monday, as it will be March by then. February just doesn't exist.
Yeah, I mean, my God, done.
Well, I mean, how great was yesterday's weather? I mean, right. It didn't even feel like February, so get bent, February. It's
there were more days above 60 in February than days below 60 in February this year. That's insane to me. That's incredibly insane. And I just hope the winter weather doesn't hit us like April, you know, when we're not, when we're done, you know, with winter, and then they go, ah, February was great. We owe you a payback, baby.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at your 10-day forecast, starting Sunday all the way until the to the next Saturday of that next week, it's pretty terrible. Weather's not terrible, but it's just full of rain, and all that. So at least the grass will be fed plenty. So you went down, I'm sure, a rabbit hole here. This is from Vinny's Corner on X. It says, who was your favorite NFL running back when you were 12? He says, I'll start Rodney Hampton.
That was a good one. Yeah, that was about 14 for me. So I had to X him off the list. But I thought this is a cool generational topic to see, you know, who are running backs? We're Mac in his 20s, Dusty's in his 30s. I'm in my 40s. We're all closer to 30, 40, and 50 than we are to 20, 30, and 40 now. So I was thinking about it yesterday when I was 12. It would have been Joe Morris or Otis Anderson, O.J. Anderson at the time. For the Giants. Love both of those running backs. No, that's O.J. Simpson. I was not a fan of his, no. Those are the two that I loved when I was a kid growing up watching those two guys play. Otis Anderson delivered the greatest forearm I've ever seen. Super Bowl 25, look it up. You won't find one better.
So when I was 12, it was 1999, and I'll take 99 and 2000, and the running back that I loved because he came out of Miami was Edgerrin James.
Ah, that's a good one, yeah.
And he was an absolute stud. Like, I think he ran for 3,000 yards in 99 and 2,000 combined. Like, I think he had, like, 1,400 and 1,700. Something like that. It was crazy. Marshall Faulk is in there as well. And then the other one is Eddie George.
Oh, Eddie George is a good one, too.
Except Madden did Eddie George bad. Because Eddie George had, like, 1,700 rushing yards. This is a crazy stat about Eddie George. When they went to the Super Bowl, he had 439 rushing yards in the playoffs.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Put him on the
cow.
Cover of Madden. Never saw
again.
Eddie George
you
again.
You never saw him again.
The OG Madden curse was Eddie George.
Never saw him again. But again, that's a running back in the NFL. You know, they have 3 or 4 years of shelf life and they're gone.
Yeah, he was like 27, 28 once we never saw him really do anything well again. But yeah, that era when I was 12, I mean, these are the Chiefs running backs at the time, Tony Richardson and Kimball Anderson.
Yeah.
And then Priest would come around in 2001 and kind of get thrown into the mix halfway through, and finally Tony Richardson went up to the coach like, hey, why am I running the ball and this guy's here? And I'll block for him and be fast, and you'll see something you've never seen before. He said, all right, we'll try it out. Rest is history. So I wish I was 12 when Priest was balling, but I was about 14, 15 when that happened. But yeah, Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James, and Eddie George. I know where two of those guys went to college. I don't know where Marshall Faulk went.
Marshall Faulk went to San Diego State.
Nice.
Yeah, a couple Marshall Faulk texts. Marcus Allen, Christian Okoye.
Some older people then.
Terrell Davis.
Yeah. Who? That was in like 97. That was like 97, 98 was like Terrell Davis.
Oh, so Terrell Davis.
Yeah.
I was like 10-ish.
So it's right there. Barry Sanders.
It's a good one too, yeah.
Dave Meggett?
Yeah, Meggett's in jail. I mean, come on. Like, that's your favorite running back back then?
Yeah,
Well, I mean, he had a couple of cool returns for touchdowns and was kind of a scat back guy. But, it was fun to watch, but I wouldn't
You wouldn't, but maybe that guy would.
Yeah,
but
Ricky Williams?
Who?
Ricky Williams?
Okay, now we're trolling.
He was awesome. I loved Ricky Williams.
Emmitt Smith, Larry Johnson. A couple of mine here. Jamal Charles would be a couple of
texts. Oh, that was going to say, I wonder, you were 12 when Jamal was balling?
Yeah, 2010. Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I think that's because I was just looking up to make sure. That's when he had 1,400 yards. When he exploded, I think he got drafted in 08. So, yeah, that would have been mine. Adrian Peterson.
That's another good one, too.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson?
Yeah, I liked Chris Johnson a lot.
Is he dead?
No. He's fine. No, I mean, he's after he got shot or whatever. Okay. Yeah, he's recovered, I believe. Yes. CJ2K? Absolutely.
He was sick.
I think, the Marshawn Lynch beast mode was when I was probably older. He was in the league, but I don't think the Seahawks explosion probably happened until I was 16 or so.
And he was probably in the league for 4 years, and you didn't even know it, just playing for Buffalo.
Yeah, LT, Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was young. I was older when he was in the NFL, but yeah.
Reggie Bush is the first college athlete that I ever saw get welcomed to the league.
Yep.
Ever. And I know I've seen more since, and I'll see more the rest of my life, but that was the first. I watched every USC game. A, because I could con my dad into letting me stay up late. And two, it was amazing to watch Reggie Bush in college football. And three, that was when they had the great NCAA game where Reggie Bush was Bo Jackson of Tecmo Bowl. You just threw tosses and let him go, and no one stopped him.
That USC team was insane.
Yeah.
They were awesome. That was fun.
You ever want to have a fun time in a slow sports season? Go watch Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush versus Vince Young and Jamal Charles.
Man, what a great football game.
You didn't even know Jamal Charles was on the team when you watched that game probably live, and then all of a sudden you go back, you're like, oh, that is him. Okay. Not the featured back, I don't think, but he's in the game, and you're like, that is Jamal Charles, the track star at Texas that became.
Who was the running back that he ran with down there? Because Ricky had already gone, and obviously Priest was already gone, but they did have somebody else that was running with Jamal
Cedric
down
Benson?
There.
He is passed.
That may have been after him.
Cedric's dead.
Yeah,
passed. I did not know that. No.
Yeah, he passed away recently.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, dude.
It may have been Cedric Benson.
It may have been.
Yeah.
That'd be too
God,
good.
I wish there was somebody listening that knew Texas football history that could tell us who the hell that was.
That sounds like you're trolling somebody.
Calling somebody out.
Has to be. Has to be Cedric Benson.
Mike Alstott.
Alstott played at Texas?
No. Just saying. Mike Alstott, Thurman Thomas.
I was going to say, what?
Yeah, just a great one. I loved Alstott. Thurman Thomas, LT. Surprised we haven't seen more LTs.
Yeah.
Played for the Chargers, so I don't know if people are
there. No Sean Moreno.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, we lost Cedric Benson. You know how long ago we lost?
5 years ago.
2019.
Yeah, I had no clue.
Yeah. It's a sad story, actually.
He was at Texas from 01 to 04.
Well, that would have been Charles, right?
No, that was before Jamal Charles.
So he came after Ricky. So it was Ricky, Cedric, and then because Priest was at Texas, wasn't he? Yeah, because he was there with Ricky.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt. Ricky took the job and never looked back. And
Ricky
then,
was the 2000 draft. Selvin Young. That's, right. That's Selvin, who it was.
Yeah. Hell of a pull there.
Did you come up with that?
I looked it up.
Okay. I was going to say, if you came up with Selvin Young, that's pretty good.
No, it felt great with that.
Selvin Young.
That's right. No, that's a good pull right there.
Ooh, Brian Westbrook. Great one.
He was good.
Yeah.
He
really was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an Andy guy.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
They had him and McNabb. I think McNabb was like in the top 50 in running yards in 1999 or 2000,
unreal.
Like rushing yards.
Before that was a thing.
It was like him, Rich Gannon, was it?
Rich Gannon was a runner. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. He ran for like 300 yards that season. Hey,
you think about it now, though. You look at Rich Gannon, you're like, that was a running quarterback in the NFL.
So crazy. It's so much different.
This is actually not true from the 75. Priest was never a starter until KC. He started in Baltimore.
He had over 1,000 yards in Baltimore, and Jamal Anderson was his.
He started at Texas and got hurt.
Yeah.
He started in Baltimore and got hurt, and then he came to Kansas City.
Yeah, so. No, he was absolutely a starter
in
Baltimore.
Talk about Priest, man. That's my guy. I watched him come into Price Chopper one time in a skin-tight shirt, and I said, can I feel your biceps?
Hello, he goes, America.
No, bag my groceries, dude.
Yeah. I mean, he did. He was ripped. He was the first guy that
jacked,
I looked at
dude.
That I went, that guy's got zero body fat on him. Like, he was just a specimen. And I know I've told the story 1,000 times, but, yeah, I asked Vermeil, like, why is this guy so good? He goes, because he does what he does. I go, what do you mean? Every play he finishes in the end zone. Every play in practice, all the way to the end zone, way to the end zone. And then what did he do? He set the NFL record for most touchdowns in a season.
Yeah, I hope in 20 years we're having those same texts about Tyler Allgeier. Oh, he never started. Actually did. First year in Atlanta before Bijan Robinson got there, and he became a legend here in KC.
Somebody says, how about Darren Sproles, the local kid?
Good job.
Nice. Yeah. Yes.
He was really good in New Orleans.
Hell yeah. Great returner, great scat back. Love Darren Sproles.
Yeah. Great career in the collegiate ranks and in the professional ranks, too, because, again, he was a small guy. As you mentioned, nobody thought he was going to do anything in the NFL did.
Wrap up that whole conversation. If you take one of those names and put him on the Chiefs this year, who would you have taken?
We had some good names.
Oh, that's a lot of names. I have to go through all the names now in my head and try to figure out who I would take.
LT.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I think so. Just a pure, he could do everything.
He could run,
he could catch. Yep. Yeah. Could he block?
Jamal Charles. Bent.
Yeah, it's a great one.
And I'm biased, and I don't care who knows it.
That's fair.
Best thing to happen could have been a bad year. We'll talk. 96.5 The Fan, you're on with the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.